Hi, everyone. As promised, MIT time. And I said the next time I was getting started, we'd be kicking it off. So welcome. We're so excited to have you here for Storytelling and Public Speaking for Entrepreneurs. How many of you guys here are active MIT students? I'm going to show a hand. So how many of you guys are alumni? How many of you are mentors? Fantastic. Well, welcome to everyone. My name is Macaulay Kenny, and I'll be one of your co-presenters today. But this event was brought to you with the work of many of MIT's departments, most specifically the Mark Trust Center, Venture Mentoring Services, and the Startup Exchange. And I want to make sure that we acknowledge them and give them efforts as well, and a chance to say some things about themselves. So before we dive into the content of the session, I'd like to invite Mari from Startup Exchange to say a little bit more about her program.
So indeed, another warm welcome to everyone. Thanks for being here in person. I think it's going to be more valuable, more interactive. We've been trying to get together for a while, between the program for VMS and Startup Exchange, to really bring this to you that hopefully can help with different steps and components of whatever growth stage you're in with your startup. And also because there's we all work with startups and support startups in a different way. So it's good to find out around MIT what's happening, how we connect, where the pipeline is, so that we can help you at different stages. So I'm Mariana Ronson, I'm a program manager with Startup Exchange, and the program started about 7 years ago within the office of MIT Corporate Relations, which is also home of the Industrial Liaison Program, or ILP. You might have heard of ILP. We have over 230 companies that are members. And so our mission is to really foster collaborations between the MIT Connected startups and the IoT members. And these startups can be based on licensed technology or founded by or co-founded by MIT faculty, alumni, or staff. And so we bring them all together, whether it's at conferences, whether it's an opportunity where a corporate will say, I need a startup to help me with a technology to help fix a challenge that I'm facing in my industry. Or sometimes we do technical briefings with startups and faculty, and so we bring the startups to our office. We're on Main Street, so just a block away. And we have over 1,000 startups in the program. Usually they come to us at pilot stage, sometimes a little earlier, sometimes a little later. So once there's alumni involved, there's you're ready to engage with corporates. We're here to support you in many different ways, and so that's the point. Just visit our website also, there's a lot of information there. We have other programs involved to support startups in a more contained way. And so it's Startup Exchange, but MIT that we do now.
Hi everybody, I'm Haley Tinsley. VMS is a program here on campus that serves MIT students, alumni, faculty, and staff, any of who are interested in launching a startup. And what we do is we pair you with a team of mentors custom-built to fit your needs. So when you apply to the program, we look at your idea, and then we find mentors who are custom-fit to work with you. From there, we work with you as long as you need us and at your pace. It's an educational program. The mentors are bound by a confidentiality policy, and we take conflict of interest very seriously, so really put in the needs of the entrepreneurs first. Storytelling is the most frequently requested topic we see when we get surveys on our existing boot camps, so really excited to work together with the other groups here today to offer this, and glad you could all make it out if you find the session valuable. For those of you who don't know about VMS, if you're interested in learning more, you can just go to vms.mit.edu. Our application's there if you're ready to apply. If you're not ready to apply, just email vms@mit.edu and we're happy to answer any questions and help answer and get you started. So thanks again. Okay, that's what we're remembering to say.
Awesome. Thank you, Ari. And thank you, Haley. And the last component or the last piece of the equation of who brought you this event today is the Martin Trust Center. So for those of you who weren't familiar with the Martin Trust Center before today, congratulations. You are physically located in the space right now. We are one of the centers for entrepreneurship on MIT's campus. Our mission is to support the teaching and practice of entrepreneurship among the MIT community, so that students, staff, and faculty. We do that through teaching courses, running events, and also running programs. The flagship of which is Delta V. Some of you guys may have heard of Delta V or been to a demo day, or maybe even been a Delta V alum yourself, as our Capstone Accelerator events over the summer. Some of our other programs that are eligible for MIT students that I had to put in a special plug for, just because I have you captured here in the audience, are Start MIT and Fuse. These are exploratory programs. We're Start MIT and Exploratory. MIT Fuse is a sprint program for an existing venture, and we're hosting info sessions recently. So if you're an active MIT student and you're interested, sell some phones out, please take a picture and come to an info session, or find Jenny and myself afterwards. We're happy to talk to you about that. Now, what you guys came for, storytelling. We've gotten all of the ads, all of the disclaimers, everything out of the way, and now we're here to actually talk to you about storytelling and public speaking. Some of which might be exciting, some of which might be terrifying, depending on how you feel about public speaking. I think it's like the second most ranked fear on some surveys, sometimes above death, depending on who you are. And our goal today is to not only have you feel a little bit better about that, but feel more prepared and hopefully introduce some new ideas and thoughts into what you can do to improve your public speaking. We focus specifically on entrepreneurship, although we think that these skills are applicable in a lot of different events. We think that there is value in the way that it can be tailored for entrepreneurship, knowing the type of experiences you guys are likely to have. So, as part of that, the ability that entrepreneurs can convey their idea is just as important as your idea itself. You might have the most phenomenal idea. If you cannot get anyone to buy into that idea, as a co-founder, as an investor, as a customer, your idea is going to remain just that. So communication is so absolutely critical and can often get undersold because we're focused on, oh, that was such a genius idea, that was such a great technological skill. Well, they had to be able to sell it to someone. They had to get other people to believe in it. And so that's why we find that this focus is coming up so much in entrepreneurship, and that's probably why one of the reasons to get into a point like storytelling is so requested. That's why we're here. But who are we? Why are you listening to me and then to Jenny? My name is Macaulay Kenny. This is Jenny Latios Berlin. We are both entrepreneurs in residence at the Trust Center. That means we have built our own companies, had experienced the ups and downs of what that looks like, and have come back to the Trust Center in order to deliver content, to advise students, staff, and faculty, and also to lecture as part of courses at MIT Sloan and at other schools and universities across campus. So we've been there, we've done that, not all things, but a lot of things, and so we've pulled from our own personal experiences in order to make sure this content was relevant and right size. So with that, we are going to divide this into halves so you get to hear a little bit of each of our own voices, and don't worry, there are going to be some interactive elements, or maybe do worry, but we're going to talk you through these. So Jen, do you want to ask people, why do they need to pitch their company?
That's right. Great. Yeah, no, I'm really excited. You know, I think one of the things that also matters a lot is how you work with people and how you present with people, because at the end of the day, you as entrepreneurs, right, it's about how are you inspiring other people to want to join you, to be able to see what you see and want it with the same vigor and fervor that you have, right? So, what do we need to be pitch your company? So, any thoughts with respect to the question? So, what do you need to be able to pitch your company for?
Know the audience.
Yes. And what are the reasons for which you need to pitch? Revenue, right? What else?
Sales
and revenue. Yes. Customers. Recruiting, yes. What else?
Capital.
Yes, exactly. I think you guys hit on all of them, right? So you'll have instances where you have to fundraise. You'll have instances where you have to recruit, right? You're looking at different talent. You'll have instances where you have to sell your product, and you're trying to build that relationship. And you have to figure out how do you distill your message in such a way that it is simple for them to be able to follow and connect with you. And corporate partnership, right? And the thing that I think is always important to remember with all of these, there are humans behind each and every one of these audiences. So, with that, what do you think the most important part of pitching is?
Tell them what is in it for them.
Tell them what is in it for them. So tell who?
Tell the audience.
Tell the audience, right? The audience, that is exactly right. This is precisely why Macaulay, when she was up here, she was asking who you were. Are you students?
Are you mentors? Are you entrepreneurs? Why? Because even for us, as we're thinking about how we're going to tailor what we have, these are images. But at the end of the day, you're connecting with me. You're connecting with me and what I'm trying to convey to you, right? And so if I understand you better, right, where you are in terms of, are you trying to get these skills so that you can impart them to your mentees? Or are you trying to get these skills so that you yourself can adapt them to your pitch? All of this is important to us so that when we start doing the exercises with you, we can think about how we probe you as well in this process so that you can get as much as possible. Because at the end of the day, pitching is about honing your style, right? And how do you package it for that particular audience? And this is the tension that you have to manage, right? Is how do you kind of put yourself out there, but in service of and respect to the audience that you're getting for? So, you have the audience, who are you presenting to, and when also matters. Like, is this an early part of the day? Is this later in the day? Are people going to be more relaxed? Is this more formal? Like, all of those different elements in terms of what is the headspace of your audience when they're coming, right? How do you package this content, right? So if you're going to have slides, how visual do you want these slides to be based on your audience? Is it a technical audience, a non-technical audience? As a result, what is the terminology that you want to include in there, right? All of these different elements. And also, if you get to decide the location of where you're going to present, right? We were talking about recruitment. We were talking about fundraising for pitches. We were talking about sales. Are you deciding the conference room that's being selected as well? All of this can play into that. And then finally, the pitch, right? How do you deliver your content? How do you make it in such a way that it's like, okay, I think I want to work with this person. I think I want to work for this person. I think I want to invest in this person. Yes?
What if you're a startup and you don't know who exactly your audience is?
Well, tell me, give me an example. I guess my question to you would be, what type of opportunities would that individual have to try to understand who their audience is? Yes.
Surveying companies.
Surveying companies. What else?
Trade show would be better.
Exactly. So the reason that I return to you as a question is because I think at a certain level, you can always try to get information about who your audience is. It may come off as like, I just don't know, but researching the conference, right? Researching who goes to those conferences. If you're thinking about, okay, how do I prepare my sales pitch at this conference that I'm going to, because I want to be able to increase my pipeline. And so to your point, I may not know exactly who I'm talking about, a priori, but what research can I do ahead of time to help me at least get a better sense of what that audience could potentially look like? And then the other thing, to your point specifically, when you're at a conference, what's really helpful, when I was going to conferences and I was a vendor, I would always start with questions. I would never, ever start with blah, 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 which is like my verbal vomit of like everything that I do, because I don't even know if you care, right? But you managed to stop by my booth. So let me first be interested in you. Hey, what made you stop by today? I want this swag. Okay, cool, what do you like about that swag, right? It's like now all of a sudden, I'm engaging in a conversation with you to try to understand you. You, as the recipient of this dialogue with the individual, you're trying to understand what information can I learn in a way that I'm interacting and showing that I'm interested, so that then I can leverage that learning and in that way frame my messaging. Okay, that's a very like dynamic and on the spot, right? But ideally, in instances where you have an opportunity to present your product, your pitch, and so forth, you have time to do the due diligence necessary to understand who that audience is, right? You have tools like LinkedIn, you have tools like Crunchbase, you have tools like PitchBook, you have tools like Wall Street Journal. Like, there's all of these different places that you can get this information, and the question is, how much of a hustler are you gonna be, right? As the entrepreneur, how creative can I be about the information that I need to get to help me de-risk my audience as much as possible and my message as much as possible, right? Cool. So understand your audience, right? Determine what everyone hopes to get out of this interaction. So as I was saying, when you're trying to frame this research, right, and you're trying to get that information, think from the audience, who are they? Are they industry professionals? Are they mid-career? Are they early career? Even if you're talking about fundraising, right? Am I talking to the associate? Am I talking to the principal? Am I talking to the associate? How recently did they join that firm? How
strongly are they to prove themselves to a principal that I even want to talk to them, right? Like, these are the different things of, like, how can I understand this person to make my time and their time worthwhile, right? Why are they interacting with you? What do you think they hope to get out of that meeting, right? And again, this is your opportunity to help create value by framing your message in terms of why it's important to them, right? What is in it for them? Why are they wasting their time? At the same time, right, you need to get value. So you want to make sure that you're answering both sides of this question, right? What is your goal for this interaction? And if you don't have a goal, I would highly encourage you to revisit why are you doing it at all. Okay, if you're doing it to be nice to somebody, you're wasting your time. Unless that nice to somebody is something that you can turn into value. That's the thing that's really important. And the reason I'm pushing you on this is because you can always find value in any human interaction, but you have to be intentional about it. Go ahead. No, not at all, because we have to be... Because I think what we want to do, and we want to create an opportunity for there to be some activities, we want you to feel comfortable to share kind of where you are at in this process and where we can potentially as a group learn together, right? Yeah.
What do you mean by feelings to inspire?
Feelings to inspire. So, for example, oftentimes when we talk to some of our entrepreneurs, it's how do you create a fear of missing out on your lab? Right? Like, you want to figure out, you as an entrepreneur, right? You are in the middle of your fundraise, and you're trying to create sort of that, you know, rolling thunder of energy. How do you create a sense of scarcity? Well, I only have one more slot available in my round, and I don't know if I can fit you in, but, you know, if you let me know in about a week, then, you know, maybe I can do that. You know, like, what is the type of thing? Or you want to inspire and then, wow, I want to work with you, right, in a recruitment. And so what do I need to understand about that person that they care about? So, for example, when I was recruiting for engineers, I'm not a technical person, but I wanted them to know that I care and respect technical people for how they think. And so I wanted them to have a feeling of, wow, like even the non-technical people respect what I'm doing. And so there was a sense of admiration and there was a sense of being wanted. So those are the types of things, again, that you have to ask yourself as you're preparing, because your word choice matters, your packaging matters, how you present yourself matters, all of those different. So, with that, let's go to part two, packaging your content. And I love the questions, so if folks have questions, just like kind of throw them out. This is meant to be very interactive. So the best pitch is a story. Why do you think that is?
Humans, that's how we communicate.
Thank you, yes! I mean, who doesn't still like opening up the cat in the hat, right? You smile because it's a sweet book that you just like, there's a lot of fun stuff happening, you know that there's this big problem, but I know that that cat is gonna drop all of those dishes that it's holding, right? Like, if you know the story, if there's a problem, there's a hero, he's a little bit of a villain, right? He comes in and he just kind of starts playing with the home. Like, if you can keep it in those simple terms, because that's how we are as human creatures. We want simple stories that we can connect to so that we can see the problem clearly. We can see the opportunity. We can connect to the hero. We can have that sense of antagonism towards the villain and say, oh yeah, I'm with the hero and I want to be with the hero, right? Those are the different elements that you're trying to create. This is much easier said than done. Why? Because what I see a lot, especially with technical entrepreneurs, you guys know too much shit. That's the problem. You have all of these beautiful things in your head and you are trying to put it all out there and, you know, dazzle them with the science, and you've lost your audience in the process. Okay? And this is why you have to figure out how to get comfortable with practicing your pitch. Because the more that you talk to people that don't know you, the
the more that you talk to people that aren't in your field, the more you are forced to simplify your message and tell your story.
So, that's one of the charges that I'm gonna put to you as your homework, right? So if you came here for a reason, there's probably some story, some pitch that you're trying to think about, or even how to motivate folks that you're working with, how to motivate them to simplify their story. And so, how do you do it? Take something that you're working on, and what is that, you know, problem, hero, villain, like what would that story look like? And what do you like about it that you can keep iterating on it? And have conversations with different people and see how they respond to that story. That's the only way that you get comfortable. And you know what's also really helpful with that? Is that you start to kind of, at least I used to do this when I did speech and debate, that the more that I practiced my original oratories, the more I kind of removed myself from the content, so that then I didn't feel personally attacked. They said, oh, I don't like this or I don't like that. It's like, no, they're looking at the content. They're not looking at me. And so I think, you know, oftentimes we tend to put so much of ourselves that we think that we're the ones that are being judged. It's not true. You're not being judged. It's not you. It's the story. And how are they connecting to that? All right? So, as a story, your pick. Yes, please.
I have a suggestion. One of the things that a lot of startups get hung up on is the pitch.
Yep.
You know, they think when you do the word pitch,
like
barn failure, because I hear a lot of companies say, hey, we got to know our pitch. What's our pitch? And then the people go in and they give their pitch, and then they're here and the customer's over here.
Exactly. And I think this boils back again to what we were saying earlier. Not enough time spent on understanding the audience. Not enough time spent on the audience because you think that you just have to be able to tell your story. And whatever that story is of like, hey, you do this thing. But if you don't understand why that thing matters to the audience, you're not able to make that emotional connection with the individual that ultimately is important in every single interaction. Go ahead.
Yes. I mean, you said that you have to put yourself out of it. But often people listen to you because of who you are and not what you're saying. I mean, back in the days when I was working for big corporations,
yes.
I would wear the brass wrap, and I was, you know, that gave me instant credibility. Here I am, I'm a great person because I graduated from that great institution. So, you know, there is something about that sometimes you have to, establish that.
Yes, I think what I'm hearing from you, though, is brand new credibility.
Yes.
Right? And so what are the tactics or strategies that one would take to build your own credibility? That's why you can wear the brass rat, maybe you have your MIT shirt and so forth. But what I'm making the distinction here is the content that you are developing.
Yes.
Oftentimes people get very uncomfortable about practicing pitching and so forth because they connect the content that they're testing on as if it's a judgment on them. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that I'm encouraging you not to do. Because then it keeps you from evolving and improving. And the thing about public speaking is the more you do it, the better you get it. And so it's not so much about, oh, you suck at that thing. It's, no, I just need more practice. And I just, in the process of getting that practice, I'm gonna feel more comfortable with it. But you have to be able to separate yourself a little bit from it. That's the distinction. Okay. So, we were saying, as a story, your pitch should have direction, right? Again, we were talking about a story, something that people can follow, it's linear, it's simple, all these kinds of things. Focus. How does each point or section support your ultimate objective, right? Remember the research that you did. Who's the audience? What are you trying to get out of it as well? And how are you marrying the two? But again, something that happens all the time is too much detail. first, right? I think it's very, very helpful. And we tell this to a bunch of our entrepreneurs. So many of them you might have seen a demo day where they have this, you know, really short, tight 5-minute pitch. You don't know how much don't get there. But it does, right? Because they had a lot of detail. They were really excited about all of the different things. And so we put them in front of all of these wonderful mentors that had never heard anything about their idea. Why? To force them to cut the babies. I don't know if you guys have heard this expression, but in film editing, the expression is to cut the babies, which is, you know, you get so attached to the narrative. You get so attached to all of the footage that's been created. But to actually tell the story, you have to be willing to cut even the most precious elements that you think are part of the story.
Is it possible to pitch without a picture? Just a story and a conversation. Found that having a defined narrative seems to, every person takes the message differently, and having that fixed narrative forces you to stick to that narrative instead of interacting with the person and other sort of connecting.
Right. That's a great question. Here are a few thoughts. The first one is, ultimately, if you know your story well enough and it's tight enough, you might be able to get away with it. For folks, we usually recommend, especially in the early stages where you're still honing in your story, where you're still trying to figure out how to lead your audience and all of these different things, we recommend that you have something. Why? Because it helps you control the conversation. And at least in the context of fundraising, how many of you have gone through institutional investment fundraising or angel investment fundraising? Okay. All right. So maybe you guys can speak to how important sometimes it is to keep the conversation moving. And that's the piece that having a structure, having a simple story will help you do. The other thing I will say is, at least in my experience, I can tell you that Macaulay has delivered this presentation and I'm delivering this presentation, and I'm almost positive that the way that she did it and the way that I'm doing it are very different. Why? Because I'm responding to you. Like, I'm trying to, you know, hear your questions and respond back. I'm trying to make that connection with you, see hopefully what you're trying to see from this and respond to it as I listen to your comments, your body language, and all of these different. And that's where sometimes that having at least something to help you, but it's the language and how you connect that makes it a very unique and different experience every time. But yeah.
I just noticed that as you were speaking, I didn't even read what was written on this.
I'm so glad, because the relationship is with the two of us.
I haven't, you know, so it's kind of distracting that there's something there that I'm supposed to look at, but also have to listen to you.
Yes. No, and so I love that you say that, because this again goes with the design of the slides, right? So for me, I like to use much more visual slides. Why? Because I want the pictures to complement my words. This is a slide that Macaulay designed, right? This is her style. This is not as much my style. And that's okay, right? Like this is us kind of like working together. But this is exactly why it's really important for you as you're packaging your content to know what will work for you. For you, if you're more of like that conversational, you're probably gonna want something that isn't trying to distract this your audience so that they have that closer connection. Okay. Yes? Database that you can call me and you can say, write me a pitch deck for this type of company, and da da Now, I guess the question that I would have there is, yes, you have all that content, but has that content alone helped you close the deal? Has that content alone helped you, you know, get that funding? Has that content alone helped you get that employee? And I think the answer, at least to date, is still no. And this is why you, the human in the loop, still matters. Now, does this mean that you could potentially create a pitch deck sooner and faster? Of course. But it's, at the end of the day, still how you are able to execute, to bring it to closure, to whatever it is that your intended goal is, that still matters. And that's the part that the human element matters a lot. And that's why the research is so important, both about your audience and what you want to do. Yeah?
The other thing I've learned recently is that you may have something you like to talk about, right? Put it back in your mind. But it's going to be, until you have a problem, right? Like it snows out, you don't have really good boots.
Yep.
Now it's in the parking lot.
Totally.
Right? Now that's more relevant to you.
Yep.
Right? So even before going into a story, you know, I think a big part where a lot of folks need to practice is like questioning techniques. Like,
totally.
You know, what do you think about that 2 feet of snow out there? You think you might get your feet wet?
Totally. So something that you're talking about is actually something that we teach. One of the things that we focus on a lot in terms of our content is disciplined entrepreneurship. And so with disciplined entrepreneurship, one of the things that we have looked into is, why do people buy? What are changes in behavior? When does changes in behavior occur that they'll have a need for your product? And so one of the terms that we like to use is sort of these windows of opportunity. So to your point, right, like there was this company that I think came out of MIT, and they had de-icing technology, like novel de-icing technology in aviation. Guess how easy it was for them to sell in the summer? Not great, right? But whenever there was a storm, that was a window of opportunity for them, right? And so they started to understand when was the right time to connect with folks, when was the right time maybe not to connect as much, because they understood their audience, they understood when their audience needed their product, they understood when was the best time that they were doing that procurement and preparation for a season. But it starts with knowing your customer. And knowing your customer comes from your primary market research. What is good primary market research? Amazing qualitative research methods that starts with questioning and observation. And so those are the things that we try to teach our students a lot about because it is so foundational. Now, to your point about things that you've seen on video and all those kinds of things, this is it. This is it, right? Like if you were to come storytelling, you could easily see this pitch or see this slide and be like, yeah, okay, those are the basic things, right? But how you massage the story, how you develop it, how you think about the audience that you're trying to target, and what are the things that you need to enable to enable that, that is your special sauce, and that's what you need to think about. So yes, will your pitch have a problem? Of course, right? We've been talking about the story. Will it have a user? Ideally, because you've done your primary market research and you understand that there's a problem to be solved. Market size. You want to have that because you want to make sure that people have a sense of, okay, this can be a huge deal. It's cool. I want to be a part of it. What is your technology, product, solution? Who is the team that's going to do that? And that matters, as you know, right? In the early days, very, very much, right? Because in some instances, it's about the team because you haven't even built anything yet, right? Like right now, you're living on a dream, which is okay, so long as you execute. Progress to date and next milestone, right? So you can maybe take that and put it in a blender and rejigger the order and all those kinds of things, but generally, those are the topics that you want to cover. But to the extent, the style, how you weave it into your story, that's the style that you generate, and then you have to figure out how do you sort of weave it and modify it as you start to understand who's the audience that you're trying to pitch this to. And keep in mind that a lot of these different things also you will need for recruiting. You will need for sales. Why? Because, and I remember doing this in early sales, it's like, how do I know you'll be around next year? You know? And it's like, well, because we have this type of funding, this is the support that funder has given us, and here are the milestones that we told them that we were going to meet, and if so, they were going to continue to support us, and you are part of that story. Join us. Okay?
And yes. Where do you put your website? How do you map your website to this?
I mean, you can do it in any part of it, right? Like if your website is part of the demo, then that becomes part of the product or the solution, right? You can put your contact information here. You can put your contact information at the beginning. Like, ultimately, it's, again, what is your story and where do you want to fit the information as it pertains to helping people understand, from their perspective, what is the value that you're bringing. So, that brings us to our first exercise. Exercise one, problem statement definition. So this is the part that you get to do some work, all right? So, you know, if there's a startup that you're working with or at or mentoring or what have you, here's the charge, a problem statement, right? A short description of your company in as few words as possible. Remember, the attributes, right? Verb, target population, measured output. A common method is the to by using method. So this is how you would formulate that statement, okay? Just to kind of give you a little bit of structure. Two, a statement of overall intent by verb, so in jargon. Statement of process using the statement of form. Okay? So, define the problem statement for your venture. We'll give you, how many minutes?
2 minutes.
2 minutes. We'll give you 2 minutes, and then we're going to cold call you. Okay, go!
It was 2 minutes, guys.
The color was so nice, I
would have
let it rain.
I know. I want you guys to feel the pressure of the alarm going off. We all feel that every morning anyways. All right, I saw some people writing. I know 2 minutes is not a ton of time, but quite frankly, if you wanted to sit and sketch, you have a lot of time, you can do that in the comfort of your own home and not in the trust center. You, with a colorful shirt, who's writing a new notebook. Do you mind sharing your two by using statement? Why don't you stand up and deliver it for us?
Oh.
Yay! Round of applause.
I don't know if it made complete sense, but two women of color who are overwhelmed by debt, I will provide them with customized plans to help them shift their mindset and manage their finances.
Round of applause. Our first speaker. Let's see. Who else has a notebook that I could see who is writing in there?
Someone from the back.
You look like you were writing on your phone. Can you stand up and deliver your statement, please, pitch to us?
Sure. Also not sure if I did this quite right, but so our goal is to
save industrial distributors labor and catalog data errors by automating product data rewriting with our AI platform.
To save, what was that? First of all, round of applause.
Thank you. To save industrial distributors labor and from data errors, catalog data errors.
And so you see with that, I'm already told, and I'm like, oh, he's saving. He's saving someone. I know who it's helping. It's not me, but I do still care. Like, there's a person at the end of the day. And I know a little bit more about you and what you're doing. And you did it succinctly. I mean, you came up with that. It's probably, like, what, 15 words? Both of you, honestly. My memory is just only so long that I can focus on one at a time. Well, 15 words in about 2 minutes. And I already have a better sense of what you're doing. Now, imagine being able to rattle that off when someone just asked you. The traditional elevator pitch of, can someone understand in 30 seconds? I mean, this is the way to get in words. Cut all of the babies down to the most bare bones essential, and then you can build out from there. Once someone understands the crux of what you're doing, you can get into more of the details. And we're going to do that a little, yeah, in the back.
So given kind of you have multiple audiences, and you have multiple, would you be having multiple permutations of problems?
Absolutely, because that goes exactly to who your audience is. It's kind of like how you tailor your resume based on the exact company that you're applying for. Like 80% of your resume probably stays the same, right? But you might change the headings, you might swap in a couple of different words. My current company builds ultra-portable operating rooms for use in disaster relief areas and areas of combat. Now, who do you think are the two primary industries that are interested in ultra-portable operating rooms?
Army.
Yep, military. What would be the other one? Disaster relief, NGOs, yeah. Two very, very different parties. They both want the product at the end of the day. They're operating in far field locations, but they have very different goals and interests. And so when you're talking to surgical NGOs, you'd like to save lives in far remote locations who don't have access to traditional operating room systems by using this technology. To the military, you'd like to improve the effectiveness of the warfighter and bring more soldiers home by equipping you with state-of-the-art technology using ultra-efficient HEPA filters. Those are very different statements. But they're both talking about the same technology at the end of the day. So you absolutely want to tailor what you're doing. And the structure might be tailored as well. I mean, Jenny talks about packaging your content, how you're going to resonate. You talked about whether or not the slides behind you were distracting. Your audience is going to dictate not just the words that you're using, but how you share those words, what that narrative contains, and ultimately also how you deliver it. The way that I talk to a surgical NGO leader is very different than the way that I talk to a military leader. And so that goes again to what do they want to get out of that interaction, and how are you going to form that bond with them so that you are both able to meet your shared goals? I think I saw, yeah, right there.
I didn't understand what you meant by statement or form. What does that mean?
Which one?
Using the statement of form.
Ah, exactly how you are going to affect your problem statement. So to use Surgibox, my company, as an example, like let's pull the military example, we are going to improve the efficiency of the warfighter by enabling last mile surgical care using effective HEPA filters and ultra-portable operating rooms. Saying what your secret sauce is at that point.
It's a technology.
It could be a technology, depending on what you're in. Our instance, yes, it is. In others, it could be using the most efficient operation process possible, using effective communication, using last mile technology. Whatever it is that you are, is enabling you to be able to meet that statement of process. Yes?
That was hard to understand. So you're actually including the solution provided by the company in the problem.
Yes.
So
in this
instance,
yes.
It's also a solution.
Well, the problem statement is your problem statement for the organization. What problem are you resolving? Why does someone care about what you're doing, and how do you effectively communicate where you fit within that problem statement? Because I could tell you, look, warfighter efficiency is an extreme decline, and they're not able to provide last mile of care. And they'd be like, okay, great, why are you telling me that? Like, you presented this problem, you put it in my lap. How are you actually going to be able to resolve that? So the problem statement is one form or framework that you can do to structure your elevator pitch and your content to make sure you are getting down to the most succinct narrative possible that you can then build off after it. When we talk about the types of public speaking that we do in entrepreneurs, there's a couple of standard categories. There is the one-on-one communication. Hey, I ran into you at the conference. What are you up to? What do you do? What do you do? What brings you here today?
Starting a company around augmenting conversation.
emails to my students, and we're also building the trust center. Like, I love to know more. Suddenly, we are having a communication. And I will eventually, like, bring up my role at trust center, and you'll pitch your company, and we'll move on. That's one type of conversation as an entrepreneur. The other is the traditional pitch. Hey, I've got 5 minutes up on stage. I'm going to tell you everything that I'm doing, and I'm trying to get prize money, or I'm trying to get network connections, or I'm trying to recruit, or I'm trying to get investors. The other is, like, a formal business meeting. We all sit into a table. I'm going to give you the deep dive of what we're having. All of those different styles of communication build off of a succinct narrative. The level of detail, the way that you package it is going to change, but you have to have that crux, that compelling, succinct narrative down in order to be able to extrapolate or to improvise or to move off of any of those scenarios. I saw that you had a hand in the back, and I wanted to finish a statement, but I want to make sure you already know it.
Yeah, so I think I have part of your answer, but how are you distinguishing a problem statement from a mission statement?
A mission statement brings into company values. So, for instance, the mission statement of the Trust Center, roughly paraphrased, although I should know it by now, I think it's to inspire and improve entrepreneurship on the MIT campus using the values of disciplined entrepreneurship. It's nowhere close to that, guys. Do not tell. but it says, like, why I'm doing it. And it brings in, like, maybe I'm doing it in good faith and good spirit, or maybe I'm doing it, like, to embody the technical mandate of MIT. Like, it gives you a little bit more about the character behind it, and it's a little bit less succinct. So a mission statement for a company, I think anecdotally but quite broadly, is that it's much fluffier. You're saying, like, we are bringing together our core values and we're approaching this problem with integrity, compassion, and creativity to solve world hunger. You can tell me that. I still don't really know what you're doing. Like, it sounds great. You're like, that's wonderful. What exactly do you do? And they're like, oh, we send out recruiting emails to everyone in the northern hemisphere. And you're like, interesting connection. So a problem statement is to get by into, like, what are you actually doing? And a mission statement can go beyond, like, why are you doing it and why do you care? So we've talked about understanding your audience. We've talked about packaging your content. We've given you an example of how you can remove, cut the babies in your head to get down to a single succinct statement, a tool and a framework that you can use. What I'm going to talk to you about now is delivering your pitch. Now, we did this intentionally last because two reasons. One, this is often what people think about in public speaking. They're like, oh, I have to think about standing up in front of people and talking. I need to make sure that that is as smooth as possible. And they ignore those two steps, which are really the foundation for being able to deliver your pitch or your talk or whatever it might be well. Like, for instance, if I were sitting or standing in front of you and I was talking about the wonders of washing machines and how awesome that technology is, I could have a great narrative arc. I could be speaking intelligently and compelling. You guys would probably be like, what the hell are we doing? Like, that's not my audience. That's not why you guys are here. You do not care. I do need to know my audience. That is the first, and I would argue, the most important step. The second, packaging your content. So you guys, you're here for the same reason. You want to learn about storytelling and getting ideas up. And we speak really well, and we move really well, and our voices sound great. But we're just, like, bopping all over the place in terms of our narrative. I'm talking about speaking, then she's talking about, you know, like, pitch competitions, and someone else brings in the four by using statement. You'll be able to follow our flow. We will sound great, like, to your ear, but as soon as you start processing, you'll be like, I actually think you're speaking nonsense. Like, you can't follow that. So delivering your pitch, I could stumble through some of these words. I could maybe not be the most engaging person you've ever seen. I've got my audience right. I've got a clear narrative, you will still get value from it. It is arguably the least important of your public speaking. Like, yes, it can pull people in. I would like to make you all happier and more engaged by listening to us. And we would lose people if we don't deliver well, if we stumble, if we slur, if we mutter, whatever that might happen to be. But if you don't have your audience, if you don't have your narrative, you've lost people already. They're just not in the room, and you will have to work so much harder to bring them back with your delivery. So we have this third because it is the least important, because it gets the most focus. We really want to make sure that there's a prioritization on those first two elements because that's what's really going to set you up for success. Now, with that being said, I also think that delivering your pitch is a lot of fun. I'm excited to be able to talk to you guys about it to give you some concrete tools that you can use to improve exactly how you deliver your pitch and your public speaking in whatever form that might happen to be. So I had a couple of conscripted volunteers, and they stood up and they read us their four by using statements. I'm going to have you do that again in a second. Yes, But before that, I want to talk about the four elements this evening. I want to give you guys a few more tools, because you absolutely rocked it, and you did it on the spot. And I want to have you guys do a chance to do it again and think about some of these elements as well. And I appreciate you being my wonderful guinea pigs in this audience. But as an engineer, I love frameworks. And it's helpful for me to be able to break down complex processes and systems into different frameworks so that I can isolate and decouple and individually work on different aspects. So when I'm thinking about the element of speaking, this is the framework that I have created. You've got physical presence. How are you moving? How are you engaging? Are you distracting? Are you emphasizing? You've got your vocal tone. Am I still moving? Am I just kind of like flatlining or muttering? Or am I shouting at you over necessarily and you feel a little bombarded? Like, what does that modulation look like? We've got word selection. How am I engaging with you? Is that appropriate? Am I using words that you understand? Am I speaking entirely in slang? And then you've got performing under pressure. The ambiguous kind of catch-all category of, okay, things have gone off the rails, or you've deviated from your script. You're trying to improvise to meet your audience. What does that look like? So these are the four elements that you can work on individually and to practice and understand where are your strengths and where do you potentially need to improve upon that. So, yeah.
How do you account for a lot of time you're in it with a team member, right? You have two or three, you and your team, right? How do you then integrate what you have here with your team?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, all of these are relevant as an individual, as a team. Like many things, the more moving parts you bring in, the more complicated things get. Like me coming up here and delivering this presentation by my own is arguably less complicated than Jenny and I doing this together. When Jenny and I are doing this together, I'm looking at my watch. I was checking my phone. I was like, is she going over time? Do I need to go quicker? Do I need to go slower? Is she stealing some of the things that I wanted to say and now I have to say something different? Is she like saying something that I don't necessarily agree with? Do I interject? Jenny even mentioned it. She's like, these are Macaulay slides. This isn't my style. You are going to have different styles. Also, like if Jenny was high energy and amazing and then I came here and I was much more serious and I was wearing a suit, you'd get some like cognitive dissonance too. So the more people you introduce, the more complicating factors you have. Now, you can work really well together. That could be an awesome asset. You can play off one another, you can supplement each other's strengths, but you have to know where your strengths are. And you also have to know that you can introduce a level of improv within there, because you've got to be a little more flexible. You now have an element of your public speaking that you can't control. I can't control what Jenny does. She can't control what I do right now. I could go entirely rogue, and she's like, okay, how do I manage this? And so you've got to be able to work within your team to have that level of flexibility as an individual that you are going to be okay in that pressure. Did that answer your question? Yeah, awesome. So getting comfortable with stillness. I walked through the four elements, the framework for actually delivering your pitch. And this, I think, is a great way to get a little bit more comfortable and to a tactic that you can use to bring in an immediate amount of skill and effectiveness with a very small team. So for my two wonderful, wonderful speakers, I want you to take a second, read your statements, and then I'm going to ask for you to be able to stand up, take a moment of silence. I know you're reading off of your paper, so you don't have to have your hands to your sides. Say your statement, and then take a moment of silence before sitting down. Sound good? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. It's going to feel good no matter what, I promise. Would you like to go? Stand up, take a moment, read your statement, then just take a moment again.
So, to women who are overwhelmed by their debt, I will help them provide for them customized plans to help them shift their mindset and manage their finances.
Is to save industrial distributors labor by automating catalog data rewriting with our AI platform.
I appreciate both of you guys doing that very much and truly. Second, what did anyone notice about the differences between the first pitch and the second? Yeah.
Actually, if I do work here.
You actually heard the words this time. Yeah, what do you mean by that?
Can you pass any of the words this time? I heard every single word this time.
Anyone else? pushing through fire once, you do it again, you know it's a safe space, we're going to applaud no matter what.
Give me a check for
one of the things, and I'll give you many tactics as well as like some theory and some practice as part of this. I like to give like broad frameworks of you should be eloquent, here's like the four components, as well as, hey, here's a specific tool that you can use right away that might be beneficial. If I were to stand over here, and I go out like, hi everyone, my name is Macaulay Kenny, I'm going to be talking about public speaking, and I hope you enjoy this, okay, I'll talk to you soon. Not that you guys did that, you were far, far better. But if you stand out, you walk up,
take a minute, connect with people, sit. Gives you a chance to pause. Say, hi, everyone. My name is Macaulay Kenny. I'm here to talk to you about public speaking. We're going to have a different session in a minute, and I'm going to introduce you to some of my co-presenters. I hope you enjoy.
If you add in those two pauses, you do two things, and you guys pick up on them right away. One, you slow yourself down. Both of you guys spoke much, much slower the second time around, and some of that is comfort. And some of that is you just gave yourself the moment to be. The second is just this interesting occurrence that happens when you take a couple of moments, is it allows people to connect with you. Almost by default, you are forced to look at the audience, which is not a pleasant sensation for a lot of us. But you are forced to look at the audience. You are sitting in stillness, which feels very, very strange at the time. But you have to look at people. They have to look at you both before and after, and they can hear your message. I mean, at the end of the day, we are, I hate to use the word animal creatures, but there are some things that we respond to on a baser level. It's one of the reasons why Zoom is so challenging as a public speaking medium, and quite frankly, it's often really unpleasant, right? You're missing that human interaction, even if they are delivering it exactly the same way. Being able to build that connection with whoever you are talking to in whatever medium is incredibly helpful, and so stillness is a really great way to do that.
When did we share a story of why we chose this problem to solve? I guess that's in the mission statement, or did you say in the pitch as well? For me, I guess I can share a little bit. I paid off around $55,000 in 3.5 years, and maybe under $60,000, so I just wanted to teach women that if I was able to do it, then they can do it as well. But I feel like it's hard to say that in like the problem statement so people can see like, oh, this is why I chose to talk about this problem or to address this statement.
Yeah. And the why is so essential. Like that's personal connection. So the problem statement is a launching point. Like that is for a way to you as an individual to narrow down what are the crucial things to communicate to get to someone else for. It's not going to be the be all and end all. If you were to have a conversation with someone, you would die for one of the things. Mm-hmm. And that why is going to depend based off of who you're talking to, like almost everything else, that customization. Because you have to think about what their objective is and what your objective is. So who's someone that you might pitch to as an entrepreneur? You personally.
So